All right, let's dive into a case that really turns what we think we know about property rights upside down. Imagine you're a prisoner. You make this daring escape, and, you know, you're out there free. But then you got to wonder, what about all your stuff you left back in your cell? I mean, does breaking out of prison also mean you've kissed all your possessions goodbye?
That's exactly what the Montana Supreme Court had to figure out back in 1999, the case Hawkins v. Mahoney. It takes us on this fascinating legal journey, really exploring where prisoner rights and this idea of abandonment collide.
Okay, so at the heart of all this is Sherman Hawkins.
Right.
An inmate at Montana State Prison who, well, he made a break for it in 1997. Now, his freedom was short-lived.
Yeah, 2 days later, caught.
Exactly. Only 2 days later, they caught him. But then, when he got back, he found himself in a whole different kind of fight. This time, it was a fight to get his belongings back.
See, and this is where it gets interesting. The prison officials, you know, after Hawkins escaped, they didn't just chuck his stuff out. They packed it all up neatly, labeled everything with his name, even stored it away. Doesn't really scream abandoned, does it?
No, not at all. It's almost like their actions were saying one thing, but their words were saying something completely different. Plus, we're not talking about a few old socks here. His things were worth something like $2,290.
Right, real value.
Yep. So when Hawkins asks for his stuff back, what happens? The prison says, nope, you escaped. That means you abandoned everything. But the Montana Supreme Court, they weren't so sure about that.
And this is where the whole legal definition of abandonment comes into play. It's not just about leaving something behind. Legally, to abandon something means you have to have a clear intention of giving up all your rights to that property.
So did the court say that just escaping prison is automatic proof you wanted to abandon all your stuff? Did they make a distinction between simply leaving things behind and actually meaning to give them up for good?
Well, they actually overturned the lower court's ruling. They said very clearly, escape by itself doesn't mean you intended to abandon your property.
Okay, so how did they reach that conclusion? What were the big things that swayed their thinking?
They really looked at everything. Like, remember how the prison took all that care with Hawkins' stuff? Packed it up, labeled it all.
Right.
That was huge. The court saw that as evidence that actually went against the prison's whole argument. I mean, why go through all that trouble for something you think is abandoned?
Right, like they were sending mixed signals for sure.
Exactly. But there's another quest. The court compared this case to an earlier one, Heron v. Whiteside. In Heron, the prisoner's things had been taken by other people, which made it seem like they were abandoned. But with Hawkins, the state held onto his stuff the whole time, which suggests he never intended to abandon it in the first place.
So who had the stuff, the prisoner or someone else, that made a big difference in Hawkins' case?
Exactly. It poked a hole in the prison story. And there's more. The court also looked at the fact that after they caught him, Hawkins kept asking for his things back.
Smart move.
Yeah, they saw that as a clear sign he never meant to give up ownership.
So even though he escaped, they realized he still valued his stuff and wanted it back.
Right. And this is where the whole idea of due process comes in. It basically means the state can't just take away your property without following the rules, even if you're a prisoner who escaped.
So does that mean even escaped prisoners have a right to their property?
Well, it's not quite that simple. This case really highlights the balancing act prisons have to do, keeping things secure, but also respecting the rights of all inmates, even the ones who tried to escape. It's a tough one.
Yeah, it really makes you think about how far individual rights go, especially inside a prison. I bet there was some disagreement about the court's decision.
Oh, absolutely. We had two dissenting opinions in Hawkins v. Mahoney. One was from Chief Justice Turnage. He believed that the act of escaping is abandonment, no question. As soon as Hawkins broke out, in his view, he gave up any right to his belongings.
Wow, so a much stricter view of what it means to abandon something. What about the other dissenting opinion? What were their concerns?
Justice Gray wrote that one. He was more worried about the bigger picture. He argued that by letting the idea of rebuttable presumption of abandonment stand, even in an escape, the court was basically rewriting Montana law. He worried it would make things too complicated, maybe even create loopholes that would make it harder to run prisons effectively.
So the majority focused on intent and due process, while the dissenters were more concerned about having clear rules and avoiding chaos in the prisons. Seems like a classic legal debate with implications that go way beyond this one case.
It is, and those implications reach beyond prisons, too. This case matters to anyone who cares about property rights and how individual liberties and the interests of the state can sometimes clash.
What I find really interesting is that abandonment, something we think of as pretty simple, is actually a lot more complicated than it seems. There are so many factors, especially when you consider intent and the whole context of the situation.
Couldn't agree more. Hawkins v. Mahoney really drives home the point that even those basic legal ideas can get messy when you apply them to real life.
And it reminds us that the idea of due process, the idea of fairness, it's important for everyone, even people who've broken the law. everyone deserves a fair shot in the legal system.
Absolutely. Fair procedures are fundamental to how our system works. This case shows that those rights can be upheld even in tough situations.
It's like, even if you tried to escape from court, you still deserve your day in court.
Exactly.
So what does this all mean for our listeners? What are the key takeaways from Hawkins v. Mahoney?
Well, it tells us that proving abandonment isn't as simple as showing someone walked away from something. You have to show they intended to walk away from it for good. And even someone who escapes prison might not have meant to give up their belongings forever.
Kind of like when you have a fight with someone and storm out of the house, you might be angry, but you don't necessarily want them to throw all your stuff out.
Exactly. It's about the context and what you meant to do. The case also really strengthens the importance of due process in prisons. Officials can't just assume abandonment and get rid of an inmate's property without making sure they're being fair and protecting their rights.
So it's not just about prisoners and their stuff, it's about these legal principles that affect all of us.
Exactly. This case highlights how important it is for prisons to have clear policies and procedures that balance security with individual rights.
It also reminds us that the law is constantly changing, facing new situations, and clarifying what we think we know about basic concepts like, well, abandonment.
And that brings up an interesting thought. If escaping doesn't automatically equal abandonment, what other actions might people misinterpret as meaning someone wanted to abandon their property?
That's a good question.
It is, isn't it?
Well, this has been a really interesting deep dive into a fascinating case. Thanks for taking us through it and explaining all the legal details.
My pleasure. Always happy to explore the intricacies of the law.
And for our listeners, stay tuned for more interesting cases and discussions right here on The Deep Dive.
We'll catch you next time.
This whole discussion about intent and abandonment, it makes you think. It goes way beyond just prisoners, right? This could apply to so many situations in everyday life.
Oh, absolutely. The question of intent, of abandonment, it pops up everywhere, sometimes in the most unexpected places. Think about, like, someone who goes completely off the grid, you know, like a modern-day Thoreau heading out into the wilderness, no plans to come back to civilization. Let's say they leave behind a house full of their stuff. Legally speaking, have they abandoned it?
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Or what about someone who has to flee from a natural disaster? They have to evacuate quickly, right? Leaving most of their possession behind. Does that count as abandonment in the eyes of the law?
Those are really interesting examples. It seems like figuring out where a temporary absence ends and true abandonment begins can get pretty tricky.
Exactly. That's where the law has to step in to provide some clarity. Imagine a shipwreck, for example. A cargo ship goes down and all these valuable goods end up scattered on the ocean floor. Has the owner just abandoned those goods simply because they're now underwater?
That's a good point. You wouldn't think the owner would just want to give up on those valuable goods, even if getting them back would be difficult and expensive.
Right. And the law recognizes that. There's this legal idea called constructive possession, which basically means that even though the owner doesn't physically have a property at that moment, they still have a legal claim to it.
So even in a shipwreck, the owner wouldn't necessarily lose their rights to those sunken treasures just because they can't physically go get them right then and there?
Exactly. And this constructive possession idea, it applies to other situations too, like that natural disaster we talked about. Just because someone had to run from their home, it doesn't mean they've given up all their rights to their property.
It's amazing how the law tries to take these unforeseen events into account. It tries to protect people's property rights even in the craziest, most extreme situations.
It really shows you how important property rights are in our legal system, and it highlights how tough it can be for courts to apply these principles fairly and consistently across all these different cases.
You know, what strikes me about these examples is how subjective intent can be. It's not always easy to know what someone was really thinking or planning when they left their property behind.
That's a really important point. Intent can be hard to pin down, and often courts have to rely on the evidence they have, the circumstances, to figure out the most likely explanation.
So they'd look at things like what the person did, anything they said, and the overall context of the situation, right? To try to figure out their real intentions.
Precisely. And that's where legal precedent comes in. Courts look at past rulings in similar cases to guide their decisions and try to make sure the law is applied consistently.
So it sounds like trying to figure out intent, especially in abandonment cases, can be a bit like detective work. You have to gather all the clues and build a strong case for what was probably going through the person's mind.
That's a good way to put it. And it's not always a simple, clear-cut process. There's definitely room for interpretation, and different judges might come to different conclusions based on the same set of facts.
I guess that's just the nature of the law, right? It's not always a perfect science.
Absolutely. It's a human system made and interpreted by humans. And because of that, it's prone to human biases and interpretations. But that's also what makes it so fascinating. It's constantly evolving, changing, adapting to new situations, and the way society's values change.
And cases like Hawkins v. Mahoney, they help shake that evolution. They force us to grapple with tough questions and really refine our understanding of fundamental legal concepts.
Exactly. It's a reminder that even those seemingly simple legal principles can have a huge impact and spark these crucial debates about fairness, individual rights, and the role of law in our lives.
It definitely makes you think twice about what it really means to abandon something. Whether it's a few personal belongings or a treasure chest at the bottom of the ocean, it's not always as simple as it might seem.
Well said. And it's a reminder that sometimes, even when you're up against what seem like impossible obstacles, it's worth fighting for what you believe is rightfully yours.
I really like that takeaway. It's a message of hope and resilience, even coming from a case about a prison escape. But, you know, this conversation has got me wondering.
What's that?
What if Hawkins hadn't asked for his stuff back after he was recaptured? Would the case have gone differently?
That's a great question, and it brings up a really important point about how we show our intentions. In Hawkins' case, him constantly asking for his stuff back, that was key in convincing the court that he never meant to abandon it.
So by actually saying he wanted his things back, he was actively fighting against that assumption that he'd abandoned them.
Exactly. His actions were louder than words. But let's play devil's advocate here. Imagine Hawkins, for whatever reason, just didn't bother asking for his stuff back. Maybe he felt like it was a lost cause, or maybe he just didn't want the hassle.
So in that situation, would the prison have been able to just get rid of his things without any consequences?
Well, that's where things get a little more complex. Remember, the Montana Supreme Court said the presumption of abandonment is rebuttable. It's not like you automatically lose all your property rights and there's no going back.
So even if Hawkins hadn't said anything, there might still have been some ways for him to challenge the prison's actions.
Potentially, yes. But it would have been a much harder fight without that clear, undeniable proof that he wanted his possessions back. And that's where the idea of due process becomes even more crucial.
You're saying that even if Hawkins hadn't specifically asked for his stuff, the prison still had a duty to follow fair procedures before getting rid of it?
Absolutely. The state can't just take and dispose of someone's property without giving them some basic protections, like telling them what's happening and giving them a chance to speak up.
So even without a direct request from Hawkins, the prison would still have had to take certain steps legally to make sure his property rights weren't being violated.
That's right. They might have had to send him an official notice telling him they were going to treat his stuff as abandoned and explaining how he could get it back. They probably would have also had to give him a reasonable amount of time to respond before doing anything with his property.
It seems like there's a big focus on fairness and transparency, even when dealing with someone who broke the law.
Exactly. The legal system doesn't just give up on people because they made mistakes or are in tough situations. It tries to protect their basic rights while still holding them accountable for their actions.
That's a powerful message, and it shows how complex it can be to deal with these legal gray areas where intent, context, and due process all overlap.
This case really underscores how intricate the law can be and why having knowledgeable legal professionals is so important. They can help people navigate these complexities, fight for their rights, and make sure justice is served fairly.
It definitely makes you think twice about what it really means to abandon something, whether it's personal stuff in a prison cell or potentially valuable items lost in a shipwreck. It's not always as straightforward as it might seem.
Well said. And it reminds us that sometimes, even when you're facing big challenges, it's worth standing up for what rightfully belongs to you.
I really appreciate that takeaway. It's a message of hope and resilience, even coming from a case about a prison escape. This whole conversation has made me really appreciate the complexities of the law and how important it is to have skilled legal professionals who can handle these nuanced situations.
It's a fascinating area of law, full of interesting dilemmas and thought-provoking scenarios.
It certainly is, and it makes me wonder what other hidden complexities might be tucked away inside these seemingly simple legal concepts like abandonment.
That's a great question. There's always more to learn and explore in the world of law.
That's one of the things that makes these deep dives so engaging. It's all about peeling back the layers and having these thought-provoking conversations.
It's a journey of discovery for us and our listeners, and it's a journey that never really ends.
Well said. But for now, we're going to wrap up part two of our exploration into Hawkins v. Mahoney.
We'll be back soon to finish our deep dive into this fascinating case.
And we're back with the deep dive. We've been talking about this really interesting case, Hawkins v. Mahoney, the one that makes you question whether just because someone escapes prison, they automatically lose their right to their possessions.
It really shows how legal concepts, even something like abandonment, which seems simple, can actually be a lot more complicated than they appear at first glance.
Right. And as we've seen, the idea of intent is really important when trying to figure out if something was truly abandoned. What really stood out to me was the emphasis on due process, even for someone who's, well, broken the law.
That's a core principle of our whole legal system. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. The state can't just come in and take someone's property without following the proper procedures.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Hawkins v. Mahoney, what are some practical things people, especially legal professionals, can take away from it? What lessons can we learn?
Well, one thing that's clear is how crucial it is for prisons to have well-defined, thorough policies about inmate property. These policies need to find a balance between keeping things secure, which is important, and respecting the due process rights of all inmates.
So it's not enough to have a rule that basically says, if you escape, you lose your stuff, end of story.
Exactly. Prisons need to set up transparent ways of handling inmate property when escapes happen. They need to make sure inmates are notified, given a fair chance to get their stuff back, and that if any property is disposed of, it's done legally and by the book.
It sounds like keeping really good records is important in these situations. Everything needs to be documented and accounted for to avoid any accusations of unfair treatment.
Absolutely. Detailed record keeping is essential, especially when you're dealing with property that might be considered abandoned. It's all about protecting everyone involved.
This case also shows how important it is to really understand the subtleties of the law, especially when it comes to ideas like abandonment and intent.
You're right. You can't just assume that if someone walks away from something, they've given up all their rights to it. You have to dig into the detail of each case, look at the evidence, and consider the person's actions and what they intended to do.
It's almost like solving a puzzle, using the law to figure out what the right outcome should be.
Exactly. And Hawkins v. Mahoney is a great example of why having skilled legal professionals involved is so important. They understand these complexities, they can fight for their clients' rights, and they make sure the law is being used fairly and consistently.
So for all of our listeners out there in the legal field, Hawkins v. Mahoney is a case to remember. It reminds us that even those seemingly simple legal ideas can have a lot more to them than meets the eye. It reminds us that the idea of fairness, of due process, applies to everyone, even those who break the law.
Well said. It's a case that makes us rethink our assumptions and forces us to really consider how the law should work, even in difficult situations.
And that's what the deep dive is all about, isn't it? Exploring those intriguing cases, uncovering the hidden legal details, and getting those conversations going.
We'll be back next time with another deep dive into the world of law. Until then, keep those legal minds sharp and stay curious.
And remember, even if you find yourself escaping from prison, don't forget to ask for your stuff back. You never know. The law might just be on your side.
Until next time.